The drama of the week is a download from the BBC.
Well, good people, it be the year of our Lord 1675, and 'tis 15 years since Oliver Cromwell went to hell and our good and gracious King Charles II has his own again. The theatres are open again and we can be merry once more. And the first actresses in England is playing the women's parts. The young blood swarming in the pit where the Orange girls take against an actress in her first part. Now, 2,000 voices agree with the pit in crucifying the poor girl for sport, and only one man sits silent. He is a dangerous rake, a wanton womaniser, an infamous poet of scurrilous verses, unafraid of mob, god, devil or king. And to tell the truth, he be in trouble too.
Watch your step, Mrs. Barry. Mind them buckets. Why, the roof leaks, some are awful.
Kindness has resistless charms. All things else but weakly move. Fiercest anger it disarms and clips the wings of flying love. Do you like my song, Mrs. Barry?
Yes, I like the song, my Lord Rochester.
And the singer?
And the singer, my Lord.
More light, Molly.
That'd mean more candles, my lord.
Fetch them.
There'd be but one more, my lord.
Why didn't you bring it in?
'Tis by my bed, my lord. Do he want it?
No, Molly.
Then I'll bid he good night, my lord. Ma'am.
Mrs. Barry is hungry, Molly. Is there any food?
I put some scraps by for me breakfast.
What? Take this guinea and bring the scraps.
'Tis a hard biscuit for breakfast, my lord.
In the morning, it will furnish the three of us royally. Go, Molly. Oh, wait. Wine, Molly.
I'll search, my lord.
And Molly.
Yes, my lord.
Two of the oranges I brought from London. Well, Mrs. Barry, it is rough and ready here, but... what is it now, Molly?
Welcome back, my lord. Mrs. Barry.
We were children together, Molly and I. My saintly mother not only believed in the equality of all Christian souls, but insisted that servants and their children... Why are you lifting your skirts, Mrs. Barry?
I'm tired, my lord, and I would get the night's business over so that I may sleep.
You're brazen, Mrs. Barry.
And you have a reputation, my lord.
And do you think I have to drive so many miles in a coach on a dirty night for the single purpose of bedding the likes of you?
I thought abducting a lady in a coach was your style, my lord.
You are impudent, Mrs. Barry.
I was told they put you in the tower for it.
But the king forgave me and arranged the marriage. As I am now assured that your legs are your best part, you may drop your skirts.
When you change your mind, my lord, my price is a guinea.
You are irresistible, Mrs. Barry.
If your lordship does not fancy me, why am I here?
I would make an actress of you, Mrs. Barry.
I am an actress.
An actress who has been booed off the stage, dismissed from the company, and thrown out of her lodging onto the street.
I'm a better actress than most of those that still have a place.
My God, you are impudent.
I was booed and dismissed because I would not ogle the fops in the pit.
Mrs. Barry.
I was dismissed because I will not humour those gallants who stand up on their seats with their backs to the stage and wave and whistle to the masked ladies in the gallery and boxes and interrupt the play with shouted witticisms and fight with each other over the orange girls.
Mrs. Barry.
I was dismissed because I remarked that my supposed betters, whom I have to understudy, arrive late to rehearsal, still drunk from the debauch of the night before. I was put out on the street because...
God damn it, woman, will you let me speak?
You may speak, my lord.
Thank you.
You are welcome, my lord.
You are fearless, Mrs. Barry.
I act, my lord.
Mrs. Barry, I saw you on the stage this afternoon and I thought you deserved a booing.
Why?
You let the pit see that you despised them.
They weren't attending to the play.
Mrs. Barry, you were playing the second maid, not the lead.
It is no matter what part I was playing. I will be heard.
And you are not pretty, Mrs. Barry.
And you are not gallant, my lord.
And your nose is too big for your face, Mrs. Barry. You should have let the pit see your legs instead.
My lord, if I am ugly, impudent, despising, and I can't act, you'd better pleasure yourself and throw me back on the street.
I will reluctantly decline that delightful option, Mrs. Barry, because I saw something this afternoon that I have never seen before.
And what was that, my lord?
I saw an actress, despite her manifest shortcomings, who was nevertheless tending with care to the words as written. Oh,
sometimes the words are so inappropriate, it is difficult to care.
I also saw an actress who continued to try acting her part when she wasn't called upon
to
speak.
Most of the parts they give us to play aren't worth acting.
And
half the time they give us no words or characters at all and pose us like statues on beds or couches or flowery banks with our breasts on show.
And she also cared about that.
How did you know?
I am not blind, Mrs. Barry, and nor is the pit. Your discomfort in that ridiculous tableau was plain to see. Though I understood why the pit was booing, I sympathized with you. Damn it, I said to Mr. Etheridge, the young lady playing the maid is much better than this. Mr. Etheridge couldn't see it and booed with the pit and called me a fool. Are you satisfied, Mrs. Barry?
Did you have to drive so many miles in a coach on a dirty night for the single purpose of teaching the likes of me to act, my lord?
I need privacy.
Why, my lord?
Because my friends and enemies would hear of this enterprise and dog us in our efforts.
You wouldn't have been running away from something.
From time to time, we all run from ourselves, Mrs. Barry.
I did hear whispers, my lord.
There are always whispers about me.
How dare they, I heard. What effrontery, I heard. It was about the time you and Mr. Etheridge took your seats in the stalls.
And what did you take this to mean?
It was my first speaking part and I was studying my lines and did not think what it might mean.
Well then.
But I think I also heard one say, and the poor boy not yet in his grave.
It was an unlucky accident, Mrs. Barry. But until we reached the theatre, neither Mr. Etheridge nor I were aware of any fatality.
My lord, there was a roof on your coach and a cushion to sit on when I had neither. And I foresaw a guinea in my purse when I hadn't a groat. But I'm damned if I will be part of some folly to entertain a gentleman who is running away from himself.
This is no folly, Mrs. Barry.
Oh, but they say you are the king of folly, my lord.
To my complete surprise, I find my usual frivolous disposition to be infected by a severe bout of dangerous seriousness.
You make it sound like a sickness.
It is a sort of madness, I think.
So to be serious is to be mad, and to be frivolous is to be sane.
I find that is the only way to endure this life.
Is it so bad?
Unless vice, ignorance, incompetence, and canting divines and lazy venal kings are virtuous.
And what is acting, my lord?
Acting is alchemy, Mrs. Barry. It turns the dross of this life into gold.
And you think you can teach me to act?
I know I can.
Why?
Because I am a poet.
Have you ever acted yourself, my lord?
Many times.
What parts, pray?
Oh, the wit, the poet, the rake, the profligate, the lover, the melancholy, the mountebank, even a hero once or twice.
You have played these in life, my lord, not on the stage.
All the world's a stage, Mrs. Barry.
The stage is make-believe.
No. That is the world.
And the stage is real.
No, but it is the only place in the world that is truly honest.
Honest?
For it is only on the stage we don't pretend that we are not pretending, and thereby approach a truth found nowhere else.
I'll tell you what the theatre is, my lord.
Mrs. Barry, the theatre is my true
home. It is a battleground of spite and jealousy and lies and pride and envy and fear. It is... a place for the ruthless, the underhand, the vicious, the cynical, the intriguer. There is but one stage licensed by the king in London, and Mr. Betterton and his partner have the monopoly and treat us like dirt and pay us pennies so that we must sell ourselves.
Why do you stay there?
Because I mean to triumph in it.
You would?
Yes. Yes, I will see those fops, those gallants, those masked ladies, the king and his courtiers and his whores.
Worship you?
No. I don't want their fawning worship. I want my revenge. I want to have them fear me, to hang on my every word. I want to possess them and know that they are possessed and love it.
And that is all you want, Mrs. Barry? Oh,
this is not a jest, my lord.
Well, neither of us is in jest, so let us begin.
Now?
Molly will come with food and wine, and when we are sustained, we shall begin. Are we agreed?
First, prove to me you can act.
Madam, your boldness knows no bounds.
I am not fool enough, my lord, to put myself in your hands without evidence.
The actor walks on thin ice, Mrs. Barry, but he or she knows what is beneath. If you want to get on that dangerous surface, I can teach you something. If you don't, you can go to hell.
I dare you to step on the ice yourself, my lord.
I have no script.
Lame, my lord, lame. You're a poet. Use one of your own verses.
Damn you, Mrs. Barry. I will.
What are you doing?
Finding a costume for my characters.
Must you fling them all over the place?
Yes. Yes.
A skirt?
And a wig?
You will play a woman?
A wife whose charms are just beginning to bore her husband.
And how long into the marriage would that be?
6 months, a year most. Oh,
so cynical, my lord.
This is the age of universal disillusionment, Mrs. Barry. So, now, please imagine that you are my dear friend and confidant.
I am all ears, my lord.
What vain, unnecessary things are men.
My lord, there was but...
Shush, Molly!
My lord?
We must attend on his art, Molly.
Oh.
What vain, unnecessary things are men. How well we do without them. Tell me then, whence comes this mean submissiveness we find this ill-bred age has wrought with womankind? Just watch these asses men a-hunting come, assume to choose and ride their bargains home. Now, my dear confidant, observe the sequel. Ere bear this sort of scorn, I stayed at home, content with humouring myself alone. Force back the humble love of former days in pensive madrigals and ends of plays. And while I frowned upon the unhappy knight and sent him fast to lie alone at night, thus making sure 'twas I the breeches wore, my husband stole my clothes to give his whore.
Oh, my lord, my lord!
Thank you, Molly.
Oh, you'll be a wonder as a lady, ain't you, Mrs. Barry?
I fear Mrs. Barry is a sterner critic, Molly.
I said nothing.
Silence is the sternest of criticism. Even booing is better.
Oh, what a pity.
Well, that my performance should be booed.
No, my lord. Only I would see a real play afore I die.
You must go to London, Molly.
With these clouts and these old freckles, they'd laugh at me in London.
Do you have ambitions to go to the city, Molly?
I'd a dream, my lord.
My dear Molly, the city is no place for an honest wench like you.
Those that can decide to go can stay at home if they like. But the likes of me must just die wondering.
I never saw a city till I went up to Oxford. And sometimes I wish I hadn't.
That's easy said, my lord. Good night, Mrs. Barry.
Good night, Molly.
Well, Mrs. Barry?
What?
Your opinion, of course.
My opinion is that I am hungry. So may I eat?
Yes, yes, eat, damn
you. You are too good, my lord.
Some wine? Perhaps it will loosen your tongue.
My lord?
Yes?
Why do you take the woman's part?
My verses find a freedom when I do so.
To damn men?
The satirist must first know the fool in himself to see the fool in others.
They say you satirise the king to his face.
I tell him his court is an elaborate whorehouse and he is too lazy to rule.
And are you virtuous and industrious, my lord?
I said I was a satirist, Mrs. Barry. I am in favour of virtue in others.
They say you waste your talent, my lord.
Well, those without talent must content themselves with sneering, Mrs. Barry.
They also say you are an atheist, my lord.
Oh, even the devil is a believer, Mrs. Barry. He hates God.
Do you hate God, my lord?
Not as much as I hate myself.
That's a terrible thing to say.
The man who doesn't hate himself at least twice a day is a fool.
My lord, I think you are as melancholy as any man I ever met.
Except the king. Have some more wine.
You and he are a pair, then?
Well, we both need entertainment.
I see.
A toast, Mrs. Barry, a toast. Here's to our good and gracious king, whose word no man relies on. He never said a foolish thing, nor ever did a wise one. My performance, Mrs. Barry.
I liked the verse.
Mrs. Barry, I don't need you to tell me that my verse is good. What is your opinion of my acting?
It was interesting, my lord.
Interesting? Interesting? Damn you, Mrs. Barry. You are like the poet who attends the play of his friend and rival and will say nothing bad but will not admit to anything too good either.
I apologise, my lord.
When you marry, madam, don't provoke your husband too far lest he take a stick and beat you.
Thank you for the advice, my lord.
Mrs. Barry, shall I send you to London in the morning to beg Mr. Betterton to take you back as the company's skivvy, so you can content yourself making the beds and washing the clothes and emptying the slops of the actresses you so despise? Well?
No.
Well, then, take a candle and get some sleep, Mrs. Barry, because in the morning I will be a tyrant. Stop.
What?
I now see a feature as fine as your legs, Mrs. Barry.
What?
Ah, no woman can resist the possibility of a compliment, can she?
What?
Your ass, Mrs. Barry.
It's a guinea too, my lord.
Damn you to hell. There are three things worthwhile in this cynical age of ours. Politics, women, and wine. And this... this is the only one I'm not a fumbler at. My desk, my pen, my inkpot.
Le rogues and cheats prognosticate concerning king and kingdom's fate. I think myself to be as wise as he as gazeth at the skies, whereby I can tell all will be well when the king enjoys his own again. This I can tell all will be well when the king enjoys his own again.
Have an orange, Molly.
I'd best empty these old buckets first, Mrs. Barry.
Have you no man to do that?
Left me, Mrs. Barry. A good riddance.
Did he not love you?
Not unless he was making love with his fists and his boot.
Have you children?
They be dead at the present time, Mrs. Barry.
I am sorry.
God took them and God can keep them, poor little mites.
Sit down with me, Molly.
I'd best sluice out the other rooms, Mrs. Barry.
Sit down, Molly. I want to talk to you.
All right.
My Lord Rochester neglects his property, Molly.
Aye.
But he married an heiress.
None of that money come his way.
Has he no money of his own?
They have a rhyme round here, Mrs. Barry.
What rhyme?
Our Johnny got the title, but that were all there was. His father left a trifle from fighting in the wars.
Do you like oranges, Molly?
They be wondrous, Mrs. Barry. Though the wee stones be bitter.
Pips.
Pips?
And you spit them out. Have another.
Thank you, Mrs. Barry.
Does my Lord Rochester often come here, suddenly?
'Tis the only way he come.
When he wants to hide, maybe.
We had a rhyme about that too, Mrs. Barry.
You are great rhymers in the country.
The merry Earl of Rochester, he hath a merry wit, and our good king will laugh and roar when Johnny makes the hit. But merriness, as knows the world, must mind about time and place, and merry earls, aflout his lore, be banished in disgrace.
Do you think he is in disgrace now, Molly?
Could be. People round here wink at each other and say our Johnny's rusticated again.
Do the people like him?
Oh, yeah. They like a spark round here.
Does he bring company with him?
Last year, he brought three gentlemen. He told I they'd be going to write a play, but he quarrelled with them, something cruel. And they left, and then a coach and four brought a young woman.
A lover?
Less said on that score, the better.
Why, Molly?
Oh, she were filth.
Wanton.
She deserved her turn at the public whipping post, for sure. But what she really needed were a good wash.
He says he needs entertainment.
They entertained each other something powerful.
You knew him as a boy, Molly?
We'd walk in the woods together and play hide and seek and other children's games.
What was he like?
He was studious and serious. He were far ahead of us in our lessons.
You were schooled together?
His mother had all his servants' children learn to read and write.
What a strange thing to do.
We were whipped together too once.
You were punished?
He were a scamp for all his lording and learning, young Johnny, and we stole his sexton's apples and overturned his beehive. And her ladyship decreed that her coachman whip us both.
She wouldn't make a difference.
She were a saint.
And now he's a sinner.
We all be sinners in the sight of God, Mrs. Barry.
But my Lord Rochester goes at it harder than most.
Well, he's an earl, you see.
That excuses him.
For the likes of us, it does.
But not God.
Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell.
You know your Bible, Molly.
Her ladyship taught us all her religion.
And him?
Oh, yeah. He knew the scriptures, and his Latin and his Greek better than the vicar. And he only a boy, a lovely boy, a pretty boy.
You liked him?
I loved him, Mrs. Barry.
You loved him?
Little girl love, but it were sweet and aching all the same. At 13, his mother sent him off to Oxford, and when he come back, he were different.
How different?
I suppose he were a man, that were it. He were a man.
We begin, Mrs. Barry.
Mrs. Barry?
Don't go, Molly. We need you here. Mrs. Barry, you will play Rosalind.
As you...
I know the part.
Like it.
I understudied Mrs. Betterton.
You are Celia, Molly.
Celia.
Here. Here's the place.
She murdered it.
Be there murders in it?
No, Molly. It's a comedy.
Oh.
Now take off those skirts, Mrs. Barry, and put on these breeches and the jerkin. Help her, Molly. Yes. This is the stage, and the audience is out there. Look, Mrs. Barry, is your favourite fop as you enter. There he is. Look, young Lord Fopperdoodle. He's in rare form, Mrs. Barry. He's been drinking since he rose at noon. And in one hand he has an orange, and the other is down the orange girl's bodice, cupping a breast. Ah, Mrs. Barry. Breeches show off your best feature. And I believe Fopperdoodle has noticed them. Oh, yes. Yes, he's pushed the orange girl aside and is elbowing forward so that he can see them better. Act 4, scene 1, line 100. Rosalind, you have just shocked the young romantic Orlando with examples of classical heroes who apparently died of love but did no such thing. But, Mrs. Barry.
But...
These are all lies. Men have died from time to time and worms have eaten them, but not for love.
Stop.
Why?
Because thou art lukewarm, Mrs. Barry, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth.
Oh, you spew, my lord. I spit.
Then we must try something even worse.
What?
Speak your lines as if you were Mrs. Betterton.
I thought I was here to...
Do as you are told.
But come now, I will be your Rosalind in a more coming-on disposition.
At least Mrs. Betterton's gross interpretation has the virtue of conviction.
But come now, I will be your Rosalind in a more coming-on disposition, and ask me what you will, and I will grant it.
Then love me, Rosalind.
Yes, faith will I. Fridays and Saturdays and all.
The line again, Mrs. Barry, with more leg. Oh, your lovely legs, Mrs. Barry.
No!
No what?
I am not doing this.
But I fear you've lost Foppadoodle out there.
Oh, damn Foppadoodle.
Why?
Because he's drunk.
The management pays you to play to him, drunk or sober.
How can I when he won't listen?
But he likes your legs, Mrs. Barry.
Am I to speak with my legs?
Yes, if you have nothing else.
I have a voice, my lord.
Your voice lacks understanding, Mrs. Barry.
Oh.
Where are you going, Mrs. Barry?
To London.
Why?
Because I will have no more of this foolery.
Well, I assure you, this is not...
If you want entertainment, my lord, you may get someone else to provide it.
Are you not worthy of the battle, Mrs. Barry? Will you not stay and we'll fight it out?
My lord, I have learned nothing except that it amuses you to see me mock Mrs. Betterton, and I refuse to stay for the mere purpose of whiling away your sojourn in the damned country.
On the contrary, I wanted you and I to explore the possibility that between your sweet but inadequate response to Rosalind's lines and Mrs. Betterton's gross parody, there might be something else.
What?
A thing so engaging, so witty and so profound that even the befuddled foppadoodle will, for a moment at least, understand a little of the nature of love. Mrs. Barry, what is Rosalind thinking now?
What am I thinking, Molly?
How should I...
Damn you both, I'll tell you what you are thinking. Rosalind is thinking for two people. For Mrs. Barry, you are playing Rosalind, playing Ganymede, who at this moment is playing Rosalind to a young man who declares he is in love with her, although he has not yet spoken of his love to her own self. She has admired his courage, and she is intrigued by the verses he writes about his love, and here she has persuaded him to go through a mock marriage with her cousin as the priest, and the witnesses are the trees of Arden Forest on which he hung his ridiculous poems.
Are all plays like this, my lord?
Yes, Molly. All the good ones.
I wouldn't like to see a bad one.
Molly, has a woman ever had such a chance to examine her possible husband when he doesn't know she's there?
If they did, they'd never marry.
What happens to women who marry, Molly?
They be cheated.
Always?
Lest they marry a sap and wear the breeches.
But, Molly, look. Rosalind is wearing the breeches. She is playing with her young man, and he doesn't know. And it is fun, wicked fun, but...
That's where I went wrong.
But, Molly, for Rosalind... This is also a deadly serious game. For she is no ordinary young woman, and she is not going to marry a fool or a deceiver.
Chance would be a grand thing, Mrs. Parry.
But, for all her cleverness, she is in danger of giving herself away. Because she is falling in love with him. And it is happening in this little scene. Now, if you can show Foppadoodle even half of these wonderful complications, he will let go of the orange girl and be mystified and not quite know what is happening to himself. And he will think that Rosalind is playing with him, breeches and all, and imagine he is in love with her. And that is you, Mrs. Barry. He is in love with the very actress he booed off the stage but yesterday afternoon.
How do I do that?
It's in the words. Look for it in the words, Mrs. Barry.
Show me.
Then love me, Rosalind.
Yes. Faith will I.
Are you Rosalind or Ganymede?
Rosalind.
But he mustn't guess. Then love me, Rosalind.
Yes. Faith, I will. Fridays and Saturdays and all.
Ah, good, good. That's confused the poor fool. That's put me off the scent. Him off the scent. Orlando. And wilt thou love me? Ganymede or Rosalind? And wilt thou love me?
Aye.
Danger.
And 20 such.
What sayest thou? Ganymede or Rosalind? Which? Which?
I don't know.
No, choose and choose.
Are you not good?
I hope so.
Why then? Can one desire too much of a good thing?
You have called him a thing, a commodity, which is what women are to their husbands, and what you will be if you really do marry him.
Don't do it, Mrs. Barry.
It's not Ganymede, is it? It's Rosalind, wondering in two minds, wondering about it all, looking into the future.
Tain't worth it, Mrs. Barry.
And there's a pause to wonder in. It's all in that pause, Mrs. Barry. And there is danger too, of course. Again, then. I hope so.
Why, then? Can one desire too much of a good thing? Come, sister, you shall be priest and marry us.
Now?
Give me your hand, Orlando.
You're betraying yourself.
But he's a fool.
All men are fools in this situation.
More fool us to marry him.
Yes, Molly. Yes. For God's sake, marry us, Molly.
You must begin. Will you, Orlando...
All right. Will you, Orlando, have to wife this Rosalind?
I will.
Aye, but when?
Why, now, as fast as she can marry us.
Well, then you must say, I take thee, Rosalind, for wife.
I take thee, Rosalind, for wife.
Now tell me how long you would have her after you have possessed her.
Forever and a day.
Say a day without the ever. No, Orlando. Men are April when they woo and December when they wed. Maids are May when they are maids, but the sky changes when they are wives. I will be more jealous of thee than a Barbary cock pigeon over his hen, more clamorous than a parrot, more newfangled than an ape. I will weep for nothing when you are disposed to be merry. I will laugh like a hyena, and that when you are inclined to sleep.
But will my Rosalind do so?
By my life, she will do as I do. It is your line, my lord, Orlando.
Poor Orlando.
What, my lord?
His mind is in a whirl. A confused whirl. You have bewitched him, Mrs. Barry. And as for your audience...
You are my audience, my lord. And Molly here.
Yes, I am. I must attend the Duke at dinner. By 2 o'clock, I will be with thee again. Go on, ladies.
You have simply misused our sex with your love prate. We must have your doublet and hose plucked over your head and show the world what the bird has done to his nest.
Oh, cuss, that you didn't know how many fathoms deep I am in love.
You're inspired, Molly.
And you be a madcap sport, my lord.
Oh, yes, Molly. And someday I'll be mad enough to write a play in which an honest, freckled countrywoman comes to town and has all the best lines and punctures the pretensions of my lady nose in the air and my lord's swivel sword. Now, wine, Molly, wine, my mole. Ah, wasn't she a rare spirit, Mrs. Barry? We shared our childhood, you know.
You told me, my lord.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, Mrs. Barry, Mrs. Barry. What a genius I am to have found you. What is it?
Have I no genius, my lord?
Yes, you have, but without me, no one will ever see it.
Beware, my lord.
Of what, Mrs. Barry?
I mean to surprise you.
Your fearless impudence does that already.
I mean to make my name, not yours, my lord.
But now I know you will win my bet.
A bet, my lord.
Did I not tell you?
You know you didn't, my lord.
Oh, what of it? It's a trifle.
It is no trifle to me, my lord.
What matters is that I discover and you learn. True, Mrs. Barry?
Am I not the entertainment as you skulk here to see out the king's displeasure?
No.
Am I not the mere successor to the lowest type of whore?
Amy Brown.
Molly didn't name her.
I will not have the lady despised, Mrs. Barry.
A lady?
There was no pretense between us, a virtue seldom seen between a man and a woman.
And you boast that to your friends, as you will boast how you made me.
You are not yet made, Mrs. Barry.
I will not be possessed.
Oh, damn you for a malapert and an ingrate, Mrs. Barry. This is no folly. This is something nearest my heart.
My lord.
Yes.
When your coach and four pulled up in the street where I was walking, you were not looking for me.
I had a bet with Mr. Etheridge. How could I win it if I did not find you?
My lord, you do not search the streets of London for a destitute actress in a coach and four. Ergo, I was secondary to your purpose.
I fear that 100 guineas is a primary purpose in my life.
You were running away from something, my lord. And you came upon me by chance.
Mrs. Barry.
If it had only been the matter of the bet, you would have sought me in the morning at your leisure, would you not?
Mrs. Barry,
Did you kill that young man, my lord?
No, Mrs. Barry.
Why were you running away, then? Why, my lord? Damn you, why? Why?
Because I had added one more part to my extensive dramatic repertoire.
What part?
I had played the scoundrel.
How?
The boy died in a silly scuffle in the dark with much drunkenness, shouting and confusion. I was the author of the affray, and poor Downs received his wounds, intervening on my behalf. My companions bundled me into a coach and we left our unlucky young friend bleeding on the ground. So drunk was I that it was not until I reached the theatre yesterday to see your performance I learned that I had run away and left Downs to die of his wounds. I soon became aware of what the world thought of me, and I was persuaded to flee London. And I confess that I found you providentially on the way.
You profess to worship the truth, my lord. Was I not worthy of it?
I suppose you were.
You suppose, my lord.
Damn you, have you not profited from this trifling deception?
Yes, but I will not be trifled with.
Oh, damn it, you got into the coach.
Damn it, I had no choice. You boasted, my lord, that there was no pretense between you and Amy Brown. Am I not as worthy of no pretense?
You are proud, Mrs. Barry. But you are right.
Thank you, my Lord Rochester.
Do you wish to ask anything else?
Will the king banish you?
I have banished myself and await word of the king's displeasure. Or indeed a warrant for my arrest.
The merry Earl of Rochester. He hath a merry wit. And our good king will laugh and roar when Johnny makes the hit.
Go on.
But merriness, as knows the world, must mind both time and place. And merry earls who flout this law are banished in disgrace.
Where did you hear that?
Molly says the rhyme's from hereabouts.
It is a damnable age, Mrs. Barry, when the commons cut off their king's head and tenants compose squibs and satires on their landlords.
It is a gentle enough rhyme for a scoundrel.
I wrote the ungentle version last night.
How does that go?
As I drank cups, I dipped my pen in the black ink of the sardonic. Here.
Son of a whore.
No, no. Those are my lines. For I address you as the postboy who has arrived at my door, and your line is the last line, the postboy's reply to my questions. Shall I begin?
Yes.
Son of a whore, goddamn you, can you tell a peerless peer the way to hell? I've outswilled Bacchus, sworn of my own make, oaths would fright furies and make Pluto quake. I've known more whores, more ways than Sodom's walls e'er knew, or the College of Rome's cardinals. Frighted at my own mischiefs, I have fled, and bravely left my life's defender dead. Poxant, why do I speak of these poor things? I have blasphemed my God and libelled kings. The readiest way to hell. Come quick, Nesta.
The readiest way, my lords, by Rochester.
There. The truth, Mrs. Barry.
But you'll not publish this.
No, I publish everything. Do you now wish to leave the readiest way to hell, Mrs. Barry?
No.
Shall I summon my coach to take you to London and bring Amy Brown back here from the Dog and Bitch Yard for my entertainment?
No.
Shall I find you lodgings and pay a month's rent?
No.
Shall I tell Mr. Betterton that, after all, you show promise and deserve another chance?
No.
Will you become a great actress? The first actress in England to show us Rosalind, Beatrice, Portia, Viola, Desdemona and Lady Macbeth as they were written by our greatest poet. And when the poets of this age see what you can do, they will write differently and present women as they are and not as mere things in skirts for the pit's depraved delight.
Yes.
Do you understand that art is never created without a struggle?
Yes.
Are you prepared to do this little scene 40, 50 times?
Yes.
And each time find something new in it?
Yes.
Then we will work, Mrs. Barry?
Yes.
Will we work until we hate each other?
Yes.
And still work until we turn to liking each other again?
Yes.
Kiss me, Lizzie Barry.
You are a devil, my lord.
And an angel. Don't forget the angel.
Satan is a fallen angel, my lord.
But glorious. And still work until we turn to liking each other again.
Yes.
Then love me, Lizzie.
Yes, Faith, I will. Fridays and Saturdays and all. But without pretense, Johnny.
Lizzie Barry, you are incorrigible.
Mrs. Barry is now the greatest actress in the land, and I be her dresser. The king told her she could draw pity from a stone, so he did. 'Twas her Desdemona, pity from a stone. And she has such a following in the lords and ladies, and my Lord Rochester fell head over heels. But Mrs. Barry wouldn't be possessed. Molly, she said, I won't be possessed by any man. No, not even him, though I like Johnny the best. We do talk about him from time to time. A spark it were. Yeah, but good people, Edna City a wondrous place. Wondrous, wondrous indeed.
If you'd like to receive our newsletter with full details of the week's radio dramas, just search for BBC Radio Drama Newsletter.